Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, and you're listening to Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, sponsors, or advertisers of this station. Due to the sensitive nature of the topics discussed on this program, it is not suitable for children, so we strongly advise that children not be within listening range of this program. Also, please be advised that while we are counselors, what we're doing here tonight is not counseling, and if you have a need, we strongly advise that you seek professional help. The Affair Recovery Center is a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered the pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We truly believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. And we're certainly glad you've joined us tonight here on Affair Recovery Radio, and it's good to have you with us. Tonight, I'm going to go it solo, so guys, if you've got any questions and I ask you to call in, you need to call in. In fact, you can reach our program tonight at area code 512-365-9930. That's 512-365-9930, or you can also email me at radio@hope-now.com. That's radio@hope-now.com. And again, we're certainly glad you've joined us. I'm sorry that we weren't able to be live last week. The flu had hit our office, and so John and Leslie were supposed to be doing last week's program, and they weren't able to be here. So this week, I'm here, and what we're going to be talking about tonight is something we did several months ago, which is, why did I stay? We really want to begin to explore, why did I stay? Because oftentimes, as people get into this marriage situation when infidelity occurs, they begin to sit there and they kind of wonder, do I want to work this thing out? Because typically, I think in our culture, the first attitude is just divorce the bum or, dumper, just kind of get out of the relationship. And yet, the thing we've discovered through the years is that the best marriages are actually those marriages that have worked through some sort of infidelity. Largely because they've learned to cherish things that maybe are far more important. And what we believe strongly is that infidelity can be cured because we've seen it many, many times. And the alternative, divorce, actually, I think, is a far less valuable decision than going ahead and trying to see what God can do. And when we say it's radio to the power of God, all we're really saying is there really is nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. And so the people we work with end up being just absolute walking miracles. And I believe we actually already have our first caller on the line here is in terms of why did I stay, and may I ask who's calling?
This is Chris and Angela.
Hey, guys. So guys, why did y'all choose to work it out in terms of your infidelity? So, who, in fact, which one of y'all ended up being unfaithful?
Me, Chris.
Hey, okay, Chris. So, Angela, why did you choose to stay with Chris?
I think it was a mixed bag of things. My initial reaction was not to. However, I had just some people that urged me to, caution me to slow down and take things one day at a time. And also, initially, we had him move out and separated. And during that time, my older son was 5, and he was praying, and every night when he would pray, he would say, "Please keep Daddy safe in his apartment." And it just touched me, and I knew that I was making a decision that was going to affect the rest of his life.
Right. So, Angela, what was the biggest problem you had in trying to stay in this relationship?
There were two things. One is the fact that I said I never would if that happened. That had been vocalized, and I had always believed that to be true. And the second was just extreme hurt and anger.
Okay. And so, Chris, for you, why did you choose to stay in the relationship after all of this?
Well, first of all, I got caught. and Angela knew about one affair when in fact there was a lot more to the story. And so initially I was still in the fantasy world, and my initial take was, you know, let's work this out. The rest of it I'll bury and take it to the grave with me. And I'm willing to work it out for the kids. Later on, that is not the right reason to do it. I found out the right reason to do it is for me, for Angela, for the family. So that was my, you hear that from everybody, do it for the kids, do it for the kids, do it for the kids, but really, you need to do it for yourself. And I think that was a big epiphany through counseling and prayer and a lot of support that if I would, the easy way out is divorce, bar none. I mean, because this process has been long and hard, and for it, we're a much better couple, we're much better lovers, family, everything. So it's definitely worth it. Most people want to do the easy way out, do the divorce, and just start over. And had I done that, I would have stayed on the same path. I would have just gone to the next person and cheated on her, and just the cycle would have continued.
So what was the most difficult thing that you faced in terms of doing this? What was the biggest problem you faced, Chris, in trying to stay with the marriage?
The biggest problem I faced was myself. It's been hard dealing with reality. I've always pushed things aside and basically chosen the easy way out. And I've done a lot of lying throughout my life, and deception and manipulation. So the hardest part of this process is really just coming to terms with that, and it's still an ongoing process. And that's by far the hardest challenge.
So the hardest challenge was just kind of your own recovery and looking at yourself as you went through this thing then?
Absolutely.
Well, I can understand that. Are you guys, I don't know if this is safe to ask, are you glad that you chose to work it out?
I am.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, we're much better. I mean, our marriage couldn't be any better. We've been married for over 11 years, and we've never been this close at all. A lot of it's my fault for not being open and communicating, and that has changed. So.
Wow. Well, guys, thank you very much for calling in tonight, and I appreciate you being willing to weigh in in terms of why you chose to stay in the relationship. That's neat.
Sure. Thank you.
Anytime, Rick.
Okay, you guys have a good night.
You too. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, you know, it's different for different people. I actually was kind of going around to some of my friends asking them reasons as to why they stayed. And so here was one person. She wrote, "I saw the brokenness in my husband that I had never seen before and was willing to work with him. God impressed on my heart that this was the path I was supposed to take, and I wasn't released yet from the marriage. Regardless of his addiction, my husband had so many other great qualities about him that I loved, that I wasn't willing to let go of because of this, and so she saw other reasons to stay. Here's another one. He had a repentant heart and a desire to get better. Another woman wrote, he was able to communicate to me that his addiction wasn't about my deficiencies, but about him being sick and needing help. He tried to validate me." And that's huge, because a lot of times I think when people are unfaithful, the first thing they do is they'll sit there and blame someone else, and or blame their marriage as for why they did. And I think that if someone can own the fact that they did wrong, then that really oftentimes is a great encouragement. So we have another caller. And so, Wayne, why did you choose to stay in the relationship?
Of course, I'm the unfaithful spouse, and you and I have talked before. Yeah, Wayne from Oregon. And when I discovered that what a nasty person I was inside, and just stopped and looked at myself, and like the last caller, I just had been an avoidance conflict person and ran away from everything my whole life, and it had been easy to just go on and keep hurting the rest of the world. And I decided to draw a line in the sand and not keep hurting people anymore.
Wow. So what's the biggest problem you faced in working on your marriage after a betrayal, Wayne?
Looking really hard at myself and my actions and how it manifested in my hurt spouse's life.
Wow. Okay, great. At this point, are you glad you've tried to work out things in your relationship?
Absolutely. I'm just, it feels so much better walking in the light and then in the darkness. If you could counsel anybody and say, stay in the light, don't go in the darkness, it feels so much better.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It seems like the dark is always going to feel better, but in the long run, it really does kind of suck. So
it attracts you and repels you. The attractiveness, you don't see the repellent part until you're in it, and then it's too freaking late.
Right, right. Well, thank you very much, Wayne. I appreciate you weighing in on that. Here's some more suggestions or things, not suggestions, but things that people wrote to me this week when I was asking the question, why did you decide to stay? And this person said, he actually listened and was humbled by what I had to say, and that encouraged me enough to give me hope for the first time in our marriage. Another woman said, God had things to teach me through this process, and I don't think I would have learned otherwise. Grace, forgiveness, humbleness, God's love. If I hadn't been willing to kind of work through these things, and they ended up being motivations for my working on the relationship. Another woman here put that staying and working on this relationship was a way for me to get real with myself, so that in the long run, maybe I could be real with other people. And so that particular woman was saying that she chose to stay in the relationship because she thought maybe it would be the best path of growth for her. And I think a lot of times, you know, again, we have many, many reasons because of the incredible pain that comes from betrayal to sit there and go ahead and jettison a relationship. And yet, we miss what I consider to be probably the best personal opportunity we'll ever have for growth, because it's only, I think, in the really difficult times that we tend to grow as individuals. And when we jettison a relationship, ultimately, I think we lose a lot of ourselves in that process. Here's something else. As my husband got better, I fell more in love with him and began to see the guy that I'd always knew was there. And that reality encouraged me to go ahead and stay. I realized that he had only been lost because of his addiction. So we've got another call now on line one, and Marion. So are you there, Marion?
I am. Hi.
Hello, Miss Marion. So why in the world did you choose to stay in your marriage? Are you the faithful or the unfaithful spouse?
The faithful.
Ah, okay. So you're the hurt one. So why did you choose to stay in your marriage?
Well, I don't think I ever really made the decision to stay. It was minute by minute, hour by hour, and day by day. And I think as I've started to see my husband change through counseling and be remorseful, which he wasn't in the beginning, then I started to decide, I guess, to stay. But it was never a conscious decision. And I think when I realized that, he did not understand God's love for him, and I did, and I felt like God wanted me to show him what God's love was for him by staying, that it was unconditional, and that we all do bad things. Mine may not be as blatant or obvious, and I definitely had a very good reason to leave, that, you know, I think just knowing that I was human too started to help, but it took a long time to get to that point where I wasn't just looking at him, but I was looking at myself also. And yeah, I guess that's it. It wasn't really this conscious decision. It was day by day.
So what was the biggest difficulty you faced, Marianne, in trying to stay with the relationship, stay in a marriage that was dealing with infidelity?
I think that his anger towards me and his initial blame of me when I thought it blindsided me. I thought I was doing everything I was supposed to do, and we had two young kids, and I it was more, the focus was on him and his needs, and it wasn't about us and our family. And that's what made it so hard, because if he couldn't change and go beyond himself, then I didn't want to be with him. I didn't want to be with him if he was going to remain the same person.
Right. So how long was he kind of in his problem instead of being able to get that it was more about you? I mean, come out of kind of his own self-focus and get into the marriage focus.
Oh, wow.
I'm just wondering how long you had to kind of struggle.
About 6 months before I started to see, you know, any kind of change. Any, like, his thought process changing at all, where he had any idea of what I was going through, and that I had every right to leave. Because I kept telling him, I have every right to leave. I don't have to be here. You know, you have to work on what's going on inside of your heart. And I guess when I saw him start to, just have remorse and realize that he, because initially he didn't want to stay. And I would tell him, you can go. And, you know, he was telling me I was the one that needed counseling, and he didn't. And, but when that started to change, he's such a different person now. It's so hard because I don't think about it every day. I don't think about it really at all. And, also, the reminders were really hard. Our home, like, I couldn't go in our backyard for a really long time because things had happened back in our backyard, so it wasn't my yard anymore.
Right.
So that was really hard. Like, I wasn't even comfortable in my own home.
So for, like, the first 6 months then, you were kind of walking by faith and hoping that maybe something would change.
Yeah, we were separated for about 3 weeks, and it was actually a really good time because there was peace. But that's when I really started to actually be able to listen to the Lord, because before I didn't know what was going on. It was just like a dark hole that you're spinning deeper into, out of control. And my family doesn't live nearby, so I didn't have the choice, you know, to kind of go to my parents' house or to get away. I had no family close by. And that's when my mom came to stay with me. And we had set up these very elaborate schedules of, like, what we would do with the kids. Like, Tuesday night, he took them out for dinner. Wednesday night, I went out, and he had dinner with them at our house. We went to church together and had lunch together as a family on Sundays. And and I think when I saw our family broken up, that was huge. But I remember one of those nights when I was leaving our house and driving away, and this quiet voice, and I heard the Lord's, I told the Lord, you love him more than I do. Sorry if I get emotional. I haven't talked about this for a long time. But I said, you know, you love him more than you love me, because you're willing to put me through this because of him and allow him to do this. And I remember the Lord just saying, yes, I do love him more than you do. And I remember being shocked, like, I didn't expect that answer. And then I just remember he said, you know, that the shepherd leaves the 99 to go and find the one that's lost. And he said, you know, you're not lost. You know me, and you love me, and you know my voice, and you know I love you. But he doesn't. And he doesn't understand my love for him. And I want you to love him the way I love him. And I think that's when I decided to stay.
Wow. Thank you. I appreciate you calling in tonight, Marianne.
Mm-hmm. no problem, and just take it day by day. I mean, we have an amazing marriage now, amazing, and we're going to have a third child, and, you know, we're both excited to bring this one into a happy home.
So it was worth working things out.
Yeah, it was hard work, but it was a miracle. It's phenomenal.
Do you know many people or any people that have a better marriage than you and your husband?
I don't think so.
It's kind of astounding, isn't it? Would you have said your marriage was this good before everything came to light?
Our marriage was hell. Our marriage was hell. And, you know, I think we look back and we go, we've had, out of 12 years, we've had two good ones. And it's been 3 years since the infidelity. And we're amazed because it's been the two after all of that, the wreckage. And we can say, we've had amazing years. What is our future going to be like? Because it can only get better.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Thank you, ma'am.
All righty. Good night, guys.
Okay, good night.
Bye.
That's a good one. Here's one. I actually wrote a friend of mine who's a pastor, and this was just his weighing in, you know, on maybe why to stay. He just said, as a senior pastor in a large church in a primarily unchurched city, I have many opportunities to observe marriages in crisis. When I'm working with troubled couples, I rarely recommend divorce. When I do, it's only in extreme cases, like when one spouse is in physical danger from the other. And even then, I do so in hopes that one day reconciliation will occur. Divorce in our culture is a great lie. It's false advertising. It doesn't provide the way out that so many people are seeking. But that's not the primary reason that I don't encourage it. I've seen too many terrible, damaged marriages healed, even against unbelievable odds. I've seen spouses that couldn't forgive and didn't want to learn to do so. I've seen trust, once shattered and devastated, now restored. I've seen love rekindled where absolutely no hope existed for such a rekindling. And I've seen all this even with couples without a lot of spiritual foundation. There's no doubt that staying in a wonderful marital relationship is that staying in a wounded marital relationship is a harder road. It's also the high road. And those who choose to stick it out usually find a level of intimacy and authenticity in their marriage that they didn't know previously. So that's from a pastor. We have another caller, Elaine.
Hello.
Hello, Miss Elaine. How are you doing tonight?
Fine, thank you.
Good. So, faithful or unfaithful spouse with you?
I am the faithful spouse. My husband is the unfaithful.
Okay. And why did you choose to stay in your marriage?
Well, I just heard you say a minute ago, it's interesting that the day that my husband came home to tell me about the affair, I knew something was wrong the minute he walked in the door. And the minute he walked in the door, I really felt God whisper to my heart that I love this man and I will forgive him. And having that kind of as a foundation before everything exploded was pretty much essential for me because after I found everything out, I did not know if I could forgive, or I didn't feel like I could forgive in the beginning, but knowing that God had whispered that to me and I had that in my heart gave me hope that I would be able to forgive and we could restore and move on. But also I think another thing that really helped me have hope that we could restore and that I could stay in the marriage was my husband's reaction and the way he handled the whole thing after everything was found out. I really saw him, he took responsibility, and I saw that he was genuinely broken, that he was genuinely sorry, and he didn't just say that to me, but he demonstrated, he did the things that he knew he should do and that were right. You know, he sought out counseling, he sought out accountability immediately, and so in his reaction also, I saw hope that I could move past that or we could eventually get through it and that there was hope for trying to restore. I wasn't sure that I wanted to restore, but
right.
I saw that there was at least some hope.
Mm-hmm. So what was the biggest difficulty you faced in trying to live in a marriage or work in a marriage where you were dealing with infidelity?
I would have to say the forgiveness part, and really, forgiveness for me definitely was a process, and it was a choice a lot of times when I didn't feel like it. And a lot of it was the reminders. It's just the daily reminders of what had happened, and constantly being faced with, until we were able to kind of remove ourselves from the situation, just being faced with it every day and having to battle that mental battle was probably the hardest thing for me to deal with. But it did get better. Time and a lot of work and a lot of hard work and a lot of prayer and counseling and all that goes into it, it helped. It didn't help immediately, but day by day it would get better.
Do you feel like you made the right choice in trying to work on the relationship?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our marriage today, and we're probably about 2 years out of him revealing to me about the affair. And, you know, today we're not perfect. We haven't made it through all the bumps in the road. But even today, our marriage is 100 times better than it ever was before, pre-affair. So I'm definitely, I know that I made the right choice. And that, you know, I have hope even for further down the line that, you know, our marriage is going to get even better as we continue to work things out. And so, but even if it didn't, I mean, today our marriage is better than it ever was, and I could say that honestly and truthfully.
So, Elaine, I'm asking somebody else this question, but what's the biggest thing you've learned about yourself through this process?
Oh, goodness. Well, it's interesting that this whole process has kind of been about my own self-discovery. Because of the marital problems that we had pre-affair, I had kind of shut down as a person. And through working through the details and the recovery of the affair, I have just learned a whole lot about myself that I had shut off, and just who I am as a person. And it's really allowed me to gain a lot of self-confidence, a lot of self-worth. And I just kind of feel like I'm a whole new person that I didn't know before. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I have become a completely different person than I was before, which is not bad. But it's really been discovering myself, really, is what has been a kind of a nice surprise that has happened along the way.
Wow, that's great. Well, thank you very, very much for calling, Elaine. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Okay, I hope you have a good evening, too.
Thank you.
Okay, so somebody else had written in, and they said reasons they stayed with Frank. It was interesting, because he asked me to stay with him and help him. And that spoke to her, and she put, he wanted to rebuild the respect I once had for him, and his efforts to do so won my heart. On his own, he was willing to initiate conversations about his problems as well as his affairs, and wasn't looking to me to push him, so he took responsibility, and that gave me hope. He patiently answered all of my questions, and that also continued to draw me into the relationship, and I saw that he was touched by the pain he saw in others during our group sessions. So she was able to see his empathy. And actually, empathy is one of those things that certainly is a huge indicator in terms of kind of the prognostics of, are things going to work out or not. But for this person, she began to see qualities in her husband that she really respected. And then she put down the benefits I've experienced by staying. She said, my husband has become an amazing man in our family. And I feel that he's grown to be a much better man than I ever knew before. He thinks about me more than he ever did in the past. He tells me daily the things he loves about me. He thinks about us before he does anything. and he's become a godly man. So those were her advantages for staying with Frank. So that's another one there. And I believe we have another caller here. Maybe. Okay. That didn't work. Sorry about that, guys. Okay, who do we have on the line here?
This is Alan calling in from Texas.
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Hey, good evening, Rick. How you doing?
Fine. So you the faithful or the unfaithful spouse?
I'm actually the unfaithful spouse.
So why did you choose to stay?
Go ahead.
No, I just said, why did you choose to stay?
Well, I think that it was more my wife who chose to stay initially and give me the chance. She was the one that was ready to leave, and I felt like I was really kind of losing everything that I loved. When I hit bottom there, it was a very rattling situation for me, because I really, could see that I was about to lose everything. Even though in the affair, you would think that I would have been aware of those things. I had just put so much of my own identity and my own self into what others thought of me that I had to let go of that. So I was really just fighting for everything that I truly knew that I loved, and that was something that I, through the forgiveness of my wife and through counseling, I learned to be able to love myself in the process, and that because God loved me, and that He could take me from such a very low place, and He could restore me to Him, and if He could restore me to Him in my sin, and He could allow my wife to forgive and give me another chance with my family, then certainly I could also put my identity in Him.
Absolutely. So what was the biggest difficulty you faced in dealing with your marriage after your wife discovered everything, Alan?
I think for me, Rick, it was realizing that I was not a trustworthy person. I had always grown up with my word as, my bond, and that I had always considered myself a truthful person. But then when I realized that the betrayal that I had caused, I had to earn back that trust. And we went through a year or so of basically me exposing to my wife everything that I did during the day, my phone, all the numbers that I had called during that day, all the internet sites I had gone to that day, literally just opening up my whole agenda and accounting for every moment back to my wife, because I was not trustworthy. And so I think realizing that, I think one of your callers earlier tonight talked about living in the light and not in the day, and living in the light and not in the night, and not in the darkness. And when I was exposing myself, I realized that, one, I was an untrustworthy person, but two, it was actually the safest place for me to be in terms of the restoration of my family.
Why do you think, if you can, Alan, I know it's dangerous to speak for one's wife, but why do you think she chose to stay with you?
Well, I actually pulled out a letter that my wife wrote me.
Would you mind sharing it?
I'd love to read it for you. This was written last April. My love, what a relief that we have in our hearts our God of second chances. If there's one truth that's indisputable about human beings, it's that we have an infinite capacity to mess up. But even more infinite than our ability to sin is God's desire to forgive us. Just 2 days ago, you were saying how blessed we were of being in this place in our lives. Jesus continually reached out to people like you and me, people who need a second chance. Whether it is in our marriage, your job, our relationship, or our family, God hasn't given up on us. He wants to heal us, make us right, and guide us into the promise that He has for our lives. I constantly pray to God to let us know how good we're doing, and today he answered my prayer very clearly. He's giving us the opportunity of being parents again. Yes, today I found out that we have a little life growing inside of me again. Our daughter's going to be a big sister. What a blessing. I guess we are doing it all right, it seems. We've learned the lesson of letting go and letting God. He has the incredible capacity to recreate our pathway together every step of the way without regrets. Reclaiming our relationship with him as our top priority has been crucial. See God realistically. See him mending our disappointment. See him running out to meet us to give us another chance. I love you dearly, my love, my partner, my life.
Wow.
And as of last December, we had a little baby boy. So the restoration power of God is amazing. I never thought we would have a marriage as good as we do, as intimate as we do, and as full as we do today.
Right. Absolutely, Alan. Well, I thank God for that, and I thank you for your call. What a blessing.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay, have a good night. Oh, and give that little boy a hug for me, okay?
I will. I sure will.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, guys, you know, this stuff is real. I mean, we're not making this stuff up. And I know that some of you may be listening and going, "There's, you know, that may be great for all of these people." But I'm telling you, the vast majority of people that we see in working through this really find what they're looking for. And so please, this isn't made up stuff. I mean, these are real people. And real miracles that are happening. Here's something else someone just wrote in. It just says, when I found out about my husband's sexual addiction after 7 years of marriage, I set out for a weekend on the beach with Bible and worship CDs in hand. After a weekend filled with buckets of tears, I came to the conclusion that God truly intended marriage for a lifetime, and I needed to grow my heart to restoration and healing. Fast forward another 7 years, and I was confronted by the reality that the addiction had not been dealt with completely. It had come back with a vengeance, leading to even greater depths of perversion. I was consumed with hurt, betrayal, and tremendous amounts of anger. But God again broke through with all the yuck to speak to my heart. Over the next 8 months, while my husband and I were separated, I met God daily for hours. He chiseled what I affectingly termed the big dig. It was a process of God digging deep within me and dealing with areas in my life that needed to be changed. The focus was on my relationship with the Lord, not on my marriage or husband. For months, the only time I saw my husband was in counseling sessions. I realized that I was fine without my husband and that God could meet all my needs. Then I had the freedom to choose to stay, which eventually I did, through surrendering my will and my idea of marriage to the Lord. Our marriage today is very much the same and, in other ways, totally different. The pain of dealing with my husband's addiction has been the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but God has used it to transform both of our lives into a deeper dependency on him. I would never wish addiction to ravage anyone's life, but the depth of relationship with my God and my husband has grown through it. So, thank you very much, whoever sent that in. And we have Pam now. Hello, Pam. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Rick.
Hello, Pam. So why did you choose to stay in your marriage?
Well, I think it comes down to basically just obeying God. I spent a lot of time in prayer, obviously, about that decision, and I felt like God was saying that even though I was in a place of woundedness and hurt, that God still loved my husband and wanted to do a miracle in his life. And if I didn't stay, then who would represent his arms of love? And so I decided to obey God, and then I wavered in that many times and went back to my face on the floor, crying out to God in desperation for help, and he would remind me of the mission that he called me to. And I would submit to that again and go in the strength of the Lord and love my husband with God's strength, and then I would have times where I'd falter again. So it was a time for me to become desperate for God, so he used it for good in my life to bring me into a deeper, more intimate relationship with him.
So a lot of it for you was just kind of what you felt like a calling from God to do that.
Exactly. Yeah, because I didn't feel like I had anything else to offer. I was so beat up and beat down and at the end of myself that I kind of felt cornered by God, that I was at a place that I had to let him do it through me.
Right. So what was the biggest difficulty, Pam, that you faced in being in a marriage that had was dealing with infidelity?
There are so many to choose from.
Okay, well, pick two or three, I guess, but go over the biggest one first, girl.
Well, I remember specifically the lying. God had me deal with, confront the lying, and I remember coming to a place of desperation, crying out to God again, because the lying and the manipulating, and I felt like God bring me to a place of strength that I could confront that in love without going to an emotional place, but to be just guided by the Holy Spirit to start confronting those lies. So it was kind of layer by layer, you know, going through the process, but I remember just the lying was the first thing.
So that was just discouraging then, just kind of not knowing what was real and what wasn't real, or was it the lack of integrity, or what made the lying so difficult for you?
Yeah, the lack of integrity, realizing that he was so far from God that he had gone to places of deception and manipulation and lying and, you know, obviously sexual sin, which, you know, we confront and think it was dealt with, the sexual sin was dealt with, and then the symptoms would show back up with through the lying and the lack of integrity and, you know, just kind of gradually go back into that pit. And so I felt like that was just, that felt like there was an insanity in the home, and I was feeling weighed down by that, and I think that's what really pushed me to cry out to God.
Wow. Okay, well, you told me there were several. So the first most difficult thing in living in this marriage had been the lying. Was there another thing that you can think of?
I think after that was the Lord kind of just directed me to confront him on his treatment of me. There was in his words, he would say he loved me and he cared about me, but his actions, he treated me badly. There was disdain that would kind of creep out. He'd try to control it, and so I know that I would read the books and, you know, go to sessions and go to group therapy and all that, so I could be hearing, you know, that part of the problem that he had was intimacy, you know, was going to affect our relationship. And so the reason he was going to those places was part of these issues he had with women. So I think confronting him on that we didn't have a loving relationship, that it wasn't really based on love, I think just persevering through that was probably the next biggest challenge.
Okay, good. Has it been worth for you in terms of staying in the relationship?
Has it been worse?
Has it been worth it?
Worth it.
Yeah, sorry about that. I can't even talk anymore.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely been worth it. I mean, in that time, you know, yeah, that was hard. It was probably the most horrible time in my life. It was years that it went on with, you know, thinking we had recovery, you know, we're on a good path, and then backsliding and, you know, back and forth. But, yeah, it is definitely worth it for my own walk with God, because I got to learn a level of dependency on God that I wouldn't have if I hadn't had a trial and a test in my faith to walk through. Also, it was worth it for my husband's sake, because he's so grateful for the investment that I made in him to bring him out of that pit, to warfare for him in prayer, and to be being willing to sacrifice and confront and go through those yucky conversations and go to sessions and, you know, the whole package. So it brought him to a glorious ending in that he's walking faithfully with God now, and he is truly the spiritual leader of our home.
So do you like your marriage now?
Yes, I do. I love my marriage now. It's redeemed, and God did that, and that was part of the promise He made to me, that He had a plan of redemption for it, and all was not lost, and there was hope. And if I would just activate my hope and faith and trust God, that He would do it, and He did.
So if you compared your marriage now, Pam, to the marriage you had prior to all of this, which one, how would you describe the difference?
Oh, it's night and day. The marriage that we had before was never good. I mean, we would have good times, and we would have times where, you know, things would seem to be going well, but it would always come back down crashing. It seemed like harder and harder until finally it was revealed that he was in sexual sin. I didn't know for so many years, but so it was just rocky even before I knew about the sexual sin. So. It definitely is good now. It's great. It's wonderful. I love my husband. My husband loves me. We're both committed to God and helping other people to go through that are going through the same thing.
Wow, that is wonderful. I appreciate your willingness to call and share tonight, Pam.
Absolutely.
Give your husband a hug, okay?
Okay, I will. Thanks, Rick.
Okay, y'all have
okay,
a good
God
night.
God bless you.
Okay.
You too. Bye-bye.
You know, they're really, it's amazing to see how redemption can play out in marriages. Here's something else that that came in. This person writes, I chose to stay in our marriage, broken and crushed as it was, for the sake of our family. I truly believe that God works through the family unit to impart to us values and qualities such as love, strength, forgiveness, patience, unity, hope, and stability. Our youngest children were ages 11 and 13 when it felt as though the bottom fell out. Adolescence is such a trying time anyway, without the added devastation of our family disintegrating. I found that I couldn't bear to put them through even a part of the terrible pain and loneliness I was experiencing. They only knew that their father and I were having problems, but not any of the specifics. I wanted them to keep their love and respect they had for their father. From past experiences, I knew without a doubt that God can truly make a way through the darkness for us, and that I could even learn from the trials. I also knew that even if my marriage didn't survive after our children left home, that I would survive and be stronger and a wiser person having made it through the darkness. So thank you very much for writing that. I appreciate it. So, you know, as we continue to look tonight at why did I stay, I think you've heard several examples of what drove people. And it's not always an issue of faith. I mean, sometimes it's just common sense. Sometimes it's because maybe it's the greatest place for me to change, and so that I can look at myself in the long run. There are many, many reasons why people choose to work on relationships. And here at Affair Recovery, the Affair Recovery Center, and at Affair Recovery Radio, we really believe it is worthwhile to try to do those things, which is why we've created so many resources to try to help you in that process. And certainly, we want you guys to find wholeness. We want you to find healing. I guarantee you, at the end of life, if you can stay together, that you're probably going to have twice the standard of living that you're going to have if you split up. I had a really good friend once was talking about, he said, you know, as an airline pilot, when he started out, you know, you start out making $60,000 a year, you get married, you know, you make captain, you get a raise to $120,000 a year, you get divorced, you're back down to $60,000 a year. And then you get remarried and you're going along, you make the next level, you're up to $180,000 a year, you get divorced, now you're down to $60,000 a year again. He says it's the quickest way to stay at $60,000 a year that he knows of. But of course, obviously, there's a lot more reasons. Our community, our family, our own personal growth, those are reasons that we want to ultimately look at working these things out. Now, as in terms of the Affair Recovery Center, let me just give you a quick update for those of you who may be listening tonight. We actually have an EMS weekend that's going to be held in Utah this next weekend, And so that's the 15th, 16th, and 17th. And if you're in the Salt Lake area and you'd like to join us for the Emergency Marital Seminar there, the 15th, 16th, and 17th, you can call us at area code 512-346-9299, or you can contact us at the web, affairrecovery.com, and we'd love to have you guys and be a part of your own healing and finding new life. In addition, there's another EMS weekend here in Austin, Texas, the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. We would absolutely, again, love to have you if you would like to join us. That's the 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th. And again, you can contact us at area code 512-346-9299. And just ask about the Emergency Marital Seminar. That'll be held in Austin the 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th. Additionally, we've got another online group that's going to be starting in the very near future. We've got a Thursday lunch group. So if any of you guys have kids in school and you would like to participate in a group when your kids aren't around, that Thursday lunch group will be starting in another week. And there's still time to join that particular group if you'd like to be a part of it. And we also have another evening group that'll be starting in the near future. So please, if you're in crisis, we do want to be a part of your healing process if we can, and help you find, just like these other couples that have been talking tonight, help you find the marriage that you've always wanted. Because actually, if you're dealing with infidelity, the possibilities, the probabilities of getting what you've been looking for all these years is probably better at this point than it's been in a very, very long time, maybe ever. So, I mean, this is this crisis can actually serve as a place to bring you into a place that you might really want to find the marriage you're looking for. Now, next week, while Leslie and I and Stephanie and I are going to be in Utah, I believe that Wayne and Karen will actually be doing the radio program. I'm not sure what their topic is, but we will send out a notice for that radio program. So if you're interested in actually asking questions during the radio program or even suggesting topics, if you will contact us again through affairrecovery.com, you can contact us at radio@hope-now.com. That's radio@hope-now.com. And we'll make sure that we get those topics on the air just to help you out, hoping that can be a blessing for you guys. And we want to be able to address the topics that are important to you so that we can help you find what you're looking for in this process. And that being said, I guess that's about it for this evening. I want to thank all of the people who called in and all the people who wrote in tonight. This is probably one of the busiest programs we've had in a while. And it was really nice having you guys participate. And thank you for a willingness to share your heart with those who are really looking for something different. And I hope that God can use your words of encouragement as a way to at least encourage others to at least explore whether or not, or to explore their marriage and to see what God can do through this healing process. So, that'll be all for this evening, and I certainly hope and pray that you guys have a good week. Thank you for joining us this evening, and we look forward to talking with you next week. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us tonight and being a part of the newest addition to our services, Affair Recovery Radio, radio through the power of God. We'd like to invite you to go to our website, affairrecovery.com, and register for our free newsletter, as well as taking advantage of our free podcast. You will find that these resources are invaluable if you're trying to recover from some form of betrayal. We are here to help. We can also be contacted at 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. And remember, there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Good night. God bless.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?"